Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
God is a promise maker and a promise keeper. And through faith and work, you make the land where you live into a promised land. The vision, then, for your work includes the job and understanding the people with whom you work are direct people that God wants you to bring his promise into their life. But you are more than your job, and the promised land that you bring your faith to is more than simply the workplace, but it includes the workplace. As we experience God's presence on Fiesta Sunday and celebrate the wonder of God at work in the 300th anniversary of San Antonio's creation, we're grateful that Viva, the sense of life, is who we are and what we're about. 2 weeks ago, I was able to have lunch with the mayor and with two other faith leaders. And as he was talking about part of the city, San Antonio is a city of faith. And as a people of faith in San Antonio, we are the epicenter of helping to create trust in relationships in a mistrusting time in our world. Now, it's not just any kind of trust, though. It's the kind of trust that our life matters to God, and God has our life to matter in how we live life through our work, in our friendships, in our family, and wherever we are. That the first Europeans who came to San Antonio created in the very center of this, what we now call the center of the city at San Fernando Cathedral, the center of where San Antonio would ultimately grow to be America's seventh largest city. And some of us will be there on Tuesday evening, and I'll be there and offering a prayer and the celebration of a review of how God has been at work and a preview of what God is calling us to, which is exactly why then we as Trinity Baptist Church, along with the greater YMCA of San Antonio and Baptist Health Foundation, are throwing a party called the National Day of Prayer. And we're moved it from our TriPoint campus to the campus of the University of Incarnate Word and the Sky Room there, where hundreds of people will gather around prayer, and prayer in the workplace, and prayer in our life, prayer for our city, prayer for our country. The sense of being able to throw a party around God's great visioning work is a natural way of bringing our faith into who we are and what we are about. You know that's what you're about, right? There was a traveler going through a land. He was a sojourner. He came to a middle-aged community, not middle-aged like 40 or 50, but back in the Middle Ages, the medieval period. As he arrived there, he saw three stonemasons, doing their work, their craft. He walked up to one of them and he said, "What are you doing?" "What do you mean, what am I doing?" was his response. "Can't you see I'm coming over here with a pile of rocks? I'm getting a rock and I'm bringing it over here to where these other rocks are and having it fit just right." And that first worker just kind of walked off shaking his head like, "Who is this guy?" So the sojourner went on and asked another man who also was a stonemason, "Sir, what are you doing?" "Well, you see, I'm getting this rock and I'm having it fit, and it's going to fit into this wall and it's going to match with all the other rocks which are here." And so the sojourner nodded his head and said, "I understand." And he went to a third man. He asked the same question, but he got a different response. That man said, "Yes, I go over here and I get my rock, and yes, I'm having it fit with the other stones to create this wall. But this wall is part of a great building. It's a building to the glory of God. It's the building of a great cathedral that will be a sign of God's hope over everyone who lives in this area." Three men, doing the same task, but understood their work differently, made all the difference in the nature of their work. On your first day of work or your last day of work, you can pull in or leave thinking, "Ah, golly, I can't wait till this is over." And there are days like that for all of us, even for a pastor. Or we could go into our workspace and arrive and think, "You know, I'm going to help some good projects happen here, and I'm going to be part of a team to get some good stuff to happen." And that's good. Or we can arrive to work with a sense of, "God is with me. And for the time that I am here, God has a work for me to do in the relationships of people and the tasks to be done, that somehow, in some way, he is going to raise it up to a level that can bring glory to him. Now, the happiness that we have and the joy of our work is in relationship to how we understand, then, our faith in the workplace. We have the classic example is found in this passage that the Shelnuts read for us. It's the last chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, and Jesus memorized the whole book of Deuteronomy. Not many of us here today can say that. Deuteronomy is a book we typically look over in order to get to other books. It closes the Torah, it closes the first five books, and it closes it in a way that tells the story of this amazing man, Moses. And through the telling of the story of Moses, we see what God is wanting to show us about our faith in the workplace. We can see more clearly of how to envision our first day of work and our last day of work, and work including our job, but our life is our work. When you were born, your work began. And not until you die will your work end on earth. It will include jobs along the way, but your life is this sacred calling to be in this world with a purpose, God's great purpose. So with your faith and work, you can prayerfully review, preview, and enact. We find then in the first, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 4, that Moses is 120 years old. He has led the people from Egypt, where they were in bondage under the reign of Pharaoh, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, through years of putting up with their stubbornness and putting up with their resistance, and now they're about to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And just before they enter the Promised Land, God taps Moses on his shoulder and says, "I want you to see what your life has been about. And I need to tell you something." So Moses then went up on the Pisgah range of the mountains, there now in western area of Jordan. And he went up to the highest peak, Nebo. And there from the highest peak on a clear day and with faith eyes, Moses was able to see far to the north, Mount Hermon, the farthest region of what would be the Promised Land. He was able to see with faith eyes the Mediterranean Sea. He was able to look far to the south in the Negev Desert. He was able to look far into the regions to see what it was about, connecting his work to God's larger purpose, saying, doing the review of his life by understanding what that would unfold. And what was that larger purpose of what Moses was to do? We find it in verse 4. And so in the promise here, it says, "The Lord said to Moses up on Mount Nebo," now this is the land that I promised on oath, that the people who have come before you, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the matriarchs that go with them, the people that I'd said to them, "I'm going to give you a land for your descendants. And Moses, I'm going to let you see it with your eyes, but I need to tell you this. You're not going to cross over into the land." Now, that was quite a blow to hear. He wasn't able to leave on his own terms. God, who had called him into his life and work, was telling him, "Now you're entering your last day of your works here." Wow. What would he do with that? In the sense of being able to envision what was there, what Moses understood is that he had completed his mission and it was to be passed on to another, but God had given him the good word to say, "You have been good and faithful." See, none of us can save the whole world, only Jesus can do that. And Jesus wants to work that mission through you. None of us can solve all the problems which are there, because you've noticed that wherever there are people, there are problems. But what we can do is that we can engage the challenges in the lives of people and work through the problems that are presented to us, apply the promises of God, and make a difference one conversation, one system creation at a time, and let the ripple effect go and make a difference for that generation, for that time. To be able to envision that work, he was able to get a preview of the Promised Land that will be occupied by the people of faith, and that he could do a review of what his life had meant. Now, you've noticed in your work that there are boundaries that we have to work with, that we're to make our contributions not with there being no barriers, no boundaries, but how to trust God with the boundaries that you face. I wrote in my sermon brief, like my letter to you as I do each Sunday, giving you the executive version of the morning sermon. But in my third paragraph, I want to read to you. I don't normally do this, but I want to read to you what I wrote. As a newborn, God saw Moses as a promise who would become smart enough to learn Egyptian and Hebrew customs, passionate enough to stand up for the oppressed, brave enough to confront Pharaoh, curious enough to explore a burning bush, attentive enough to hear God's message, loving enough to lead a stubborn people, wild enough to be at home in the wilderness, visionary enough to see the unseen promised land, spiritual enough to model the Ten Commandments, humble enough to be truly great, and willing enough to die for the promise that to be passed on. The life of Moses reveals that God is a promise maker and a promise keeper. We become a promise people as we trust and live by his promises. Did you notice that the challenge, the boundary that Moses had to face in his life began from the day he was born? He was born of a wrong group of people, the Hebrew people, that a decree had gone that all boys born among the Hebrew people were to be killed there in that age. But his mother, courageous, had a vision, put him into a little boat and floated him down the Nile River. And there it was the daughter of the Pharaoh who saw him and pulled him out. And Moses was given his name, drawn from the water. From the very beginning then, the promise of your life has been God saying to you, I have drawn you into to live your life at this stage, this time in history. And you're going to have boundaries to overcome your whole life. And so Moses learned that. He learned that as he trusted God with those boundary moments, God would be able to show him breakthroughs. And so in Deuteronomy 34:5, when God gave the promise, the servant of the Lord, he died there in Moab as the Lord had said according to the word of the Lord. Now, some people, and I used to feel this way, would think of how unfair is that? I mean, Moses was right on the edge to finish this lifelong work to get people into the promised land. How unfair is that? My hunch is that Moses was relieved to think of all the challenges that he had lived through, all the promises he had to claim, all the problems he had to solve. And then it was time to pass it on. He didn't stop before it had ended, but when the end came into the vision, he was able to see that the promise of his life had been kept true by the promise maker God. Again, you and I have a time by which we live on earth. And to live each day with that faith and purpose through your faith and through your work, and then it's going to be okay when we leave this earth and it's been passed on to another. Some of us, many of us actually gathered here last Sunday afternoon for a historic day of Trinity Baptist Church. Trinity Baptist Church and Logsdon Seminary of Hardin-Simmons University, where the president came and joined us, and other faculty members, people from our community, students from almost every continent of the land who were here, dedicating then the campus, which is right over here in our next building, the lower level, dedicating a campus for generations to come of people preparing for the vocational call of ministry. The vision for that began with a prayer. It stirred to conversation. It stirred to the application, got through all the accreditation by the theological groups and bearings, and came together in a way for vision now that's touching the lives of people who will touch the world. Grateful for a vision of God who enables us to see what our lives can accomplish if we trust him. And being able to make our way through by making it true. Then we're able to build. We're able to build on the legacy of God's promises in our life. 300 years ago, when the city of San Antonio began, there was a vision that the vision would be able to say there would become future generations. And yes, there would be commerce. Yes, there would be struggle. Yes, there would be the integration of the Anglo and the European culture and the Indian culture. Yes, there would be bloodshed and sweat and struggle. And yes, sin would be happening along the way. But if all of that be placed upon the hands of God, then God will be able to shape that for his good purposes. You and I then are a key time in the precipice of the future of San Antonio to be a promise maker of a promise keeper by how we live our promised lives. And your workplace, whether that be in the neighborhood, whether that be in your non-for-profit organization, whether that be where you labor for your paycheck and your compensation, or in the life and the ministries of Trinity Baptist Church, your field of influence then is being able to shape a future. You're not simply moving one rock to another rock, nor are you simply getting one rock to match perfectly with the other rocks. But what your contribution and my contribution are is making those contributions to be able to complete and build what God's great accomplishment is wanting to do in the lives of people. And so it is true in that Chinese proverb that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. But in the first step, we have to make sure we're headed in the right direction. And that first step, we have to make sure that we are committed to the journey. And that's where it begins with prayer. Prayer that then sends us in the right direction, not knowing all the answers that we will need to know along the way, but being able to know that we can trust God who will supply us with the courage and the answers as we need them. And then the 1,000-mile journey comes to an end. This past week, a football legend of the Baylor Bears was leading in a service here, and his name was Neil Jeffrey. Neil and I were in school together, so I claimed a moment where he and I could take a photo together. I remember when Neil was seeing a vision, along with the new football coach, Grant Taft, that the perennial losing football team could actually begin to win, not just with character, but win by the performance of the job on the field. Hard to believe. But we actually won the conference championship during that time. Now, Neil stutters. He said that when he would call up his girlfriend in high school playing at Shawnee Mission there in Kansas City, and he would call, and on the other end, the girlfriend's dad would answer the telephone, and the dad would say hello, and nobody would answer on the other side, and then the dad would call out saying, "It's Neil, he wants to talk to you." Now, what would he do with the stuttering? He committed it to the Lord. He worked hard in the capacity to communicate in speech. And now preaches the gospel beautifully and powerfully. And in the line of scrimmage in football, he could call the audibles as well as the design play. Boundary, problem, obstacle, all of the above. But all of that became a way in which God could reveal his promise through Neil's life. And by the obstacles he overcame, it becomes an inspiration for the rest of us. And you got obstacles, and I have obstacles. And as we trust God together with those obstacles, then we inspire each other as this community of faith, these friends and family in the life of Trinity Baptist Church, the city of San Antonio, and the world which God has called us to create. So Moses, after living this incredible life in which it was said there was no one who had lived with such faith and humility as Moses had, and Moses knows all the doubts he had along the way. And God reprimanded him, and reprimanded him with the doubts that he had experienced and the anger that at times that he displayed. And God held him accountable, and Moses was always willing to grow. And then Moses knew it was time to pass on the blessing. And so he saw that next generation leader. He saw a guy called Joshua. And to Joshua, the son of Nun, he had laid his hands upon him and gave him a blessing. We find in verse 9 then, and as he did, Moses had laid his hands on him so the people of Israel would know that the mission did not end with Moses. The mission continued by their faith in the Lord and by a new leader being designated to help guide them across the Jordan River to do all the work that were required on the other side to create a people of faith and a people of love in a community of promise. And then the last verses of this incredibly incredible chapter talks about how Moses then is a man of faith, breathed his last. He was buried where they did not know where he would be buried. And the people grieved, and then they moved forward. Envisioning your first day of work and your last day of work. It is with your job, but it is more than your job. It is with your very life. You know that great theologian, Winnie the Pooh, Piglet? One day, Winnie and Piglet were walking down the road together. And Winnie just wanted to make sure that Piglet understood. So, Winnie, I want you to know, Piglet, I want you to know that you're braver than you think you are. You're smarter than you think you are. And if we don't see each other again, I want you to know that I am with you. Now, the Lord bonds us in a life to know that we are more than who we are on our own, but in him we are just who we need to be. And that we come speaking that word of courage into the life of each other. There is more to you than what you know, but there's not more to you than what God knows about you. And he wants you to trust him this week to take that next step in your life so that he can be realized through the work of your life. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we need you and we are grateful that you call us out, you give us a call to respond. You call us out to a purpose in life. And we may only understand a little along the way of what that purpose is, just like Moses. But along the way, you do make it clear enough for us to take those next steps with our life. Right now, for some, that's saying yes to Jesus Christ. For others, it's saying, yes, this is the church family that I want to be a part of. For others, it's saying, yes, I just need to pray, Lord, update my life in light of you. Let it be as you lead us. Through Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.